A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy. We are here with our final reflection on the second race of the year, the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, and it's F1 driver ratings time. And one that, Tommy, I feel as though there could be some saucy grades. I don't feel like everybody can just agree on, like, because Bahrain felt as though there was only one way you can really go with most drivers. This one, perhaps with, you know, different strategies and some playing risks, it could make it interesting.
It is a bit more interesting than the last one that did feel like it was a bit lights to flag. But on this one, yeah, there's a few interesting drivers that I think will be fascinating to see which way we've gone with things.
Very fascinating indeed. Now, before we get into our driver ratings, we recently discussed the infamous 2021 Saudi Arabian Grand Prix over on our Patreon. Here's a quick clip to give you a little taster of what you get if you join the old P1 Patreon. That wasn't the end of the controversy slash drama, as the whole incident that went on between Verstappen and Hamilton was investigated. And this is when we had the beauty of team radio, wasn't it? This is where we could hear the FIA radio speaking to the teams.
God, I bet they regretted that so much.
Oh, my God. Yeah, having actual transparency.
It made this whole thing so much worse.
It really did, because we had some transcripts. So the FIA said to Red Bull, "I'm going to give you the opportunity, based on what occurred at turns 1 and 2, we would drop you back behind Hamilton. That is my offer," said Michael Massey. Yes. Like it's a game of deal or no deal at the moment. That in itself is a wild thing to do.
The wording of that is my offer. It just embarrassing, really, isn't it? You are the rule maker. You are the race director.
You give a penalty, you tell them what they're going to do. And that's it, isn't it?
And the ironic thing is, this was, because we probably won't mention it at the end because there's also so much to talk about, but Christian Horner actually mentioned that Michael Massey and this whole situation sounded like, I think he described it as like a market stall, like bargaining, like kind of tactics. And Red Bull arguably were in the, you know, had the best offer here, that they were getting an offer for it. Very, very weird.
Bizarre.
Very bizarre.
Absolutely bizarre. So Red Bull said, yep, we understand that. We'll accept that. We understand the order will be Ocon, Hamilton and Verstappen. And the FIA said, yes, that is correct. So there was a heated debate over the team radios between the FIA, Mercedes and Red Bull, and then eventually settled the starting grid for the next standing start, which is what we got. And this time, Verstappen made a good start on the medium tyres to make it 3 wide into turn 1. Okay, let's get into driver ratings then and begin with Kevin Magnussen. He qualified 13th and finished 12th. I am going to lock in for K-Mag, the defensive train conductor, a 7 out of 10. Tommy's giving all kinds of facial expressions here. I can't give him any higher than a 7 because the bloke was absolutely on it with penalties. And I feel as though that you have to take that into account. He obviously did a great job for Nico Hülkenberg, got Haas a point. But the only reason he did was because he shoved Albon in the wall, got him some front wing damage, and then overtook Tsunoda off the track, and then decided to slow down the rest of the cars behind him, which was, you know, Ministry of Defence stuff. But let's not forget, and also as well, you know, we were like, oh, K-Mag, that was a great drive. But you can't ignore the fact that he was breaking rules in order to make this happen. So that's why I'm locking in a 7.
I have gone for Kevin Magnussen a 5 out of 10. Because, yeah, you know, this one is a controversial one to essentially kick things off, because essentially he's done a fantastic team job, but like you say, it's based on his erratic driving. His move on Albon was ridiculous. His move on Tsunoda was illegal. And you can argue that he might have even got points himself if he didn't drive so badly. But then when it was his chance to defend like a lion, he did everything he needed to do. So he's a really difficult driver to rate because he did what he did for the team, but only because he was a bit useless. So how do you grade it?
I love how I've like said seven because he got penalties, thinking that I was saying like, oh, I'm not going to give him any higher because of the penalties. And you've gone five because of the penalties. I love that.
Well, I think some people will have gone crazy, crazy high with it. And I bet it's like quite split between who actually... Let's have a look. I've got the fan vote here and I can actually tell you that... Well, 24% of people gave him an 8 out of 10. But
so
then
that's the fan vote. 8 out of 10 for K-Mag.
Yeah, 8%, 5, 9%, 6. So people were very generous to K-Mag. 12%.
You thought you were onto something there. You loaded that up expecting a bigger number for a 4 out of 10.
Basically, the fans
you?
Are wrong. Why do we even do this?
oh, Tommy, don't say 12, that.
Because 12% of people have given him 10 out of 10.
What?
Which is,
ridiculous.
People, I mean, look, he's using the best of his abilities, which is crashing into people and cheating a bit. But yeah, it's a bit.
Wow.
I can't
Tommy's
give him. I can't
starting
give him
a off this driver ratings with an absolute sucker punch to not just K-Mag, but everybody that watches and listens as well. Unbelievable scenes. Let's go to his teammate now then, Nico Hülkenberg. He qualified 15th and finished 10th.
Gone for an 8 out of 10 for Nico Hülkenberg because, unlike his teammate, he actually drove a good race. And he did a good job. Obviously, he was very unfortunate, I think, not to make it through, maybe even to Q3. Had that problem. And... Made it work. Yes, thanks to Kevin Magnussen, but he's such a difficult one to grade, Magnussen. The more I say it, I'm more like, no, maybe he should get more. But
no,
I'm like,
no,
he shouldn't.
You said that with your chest, Tommy.
Yeah, no, I don't. I do agree, K-Mag 5. And I'm going, Hülkenberg 8.
For Nico Hülkenberg, I am actually going to give him a 9 out of 10. I'm going to try this year, when possible, to give slower car drivers an actual good grade. Because at the end of the day, Nico Hülkenberg has entered the top 5 team category, obviously with Stroll's mistake, but still, he has scored a point, which we have already said many times was very, very difficult to do. And also, you know, he was really unlucky in qualifying, where he had a problem with the fuel system, and then just drove a really solid race. And you know, I look at that and I go, how much more could he have done? Nothing, really. So that's why I've gone for a 9 out of 10 for Nico Hülkenberg. And the fans have given him an 8. Zhou Guan Yu now, qualified 20th, finished 18th. I've gone for a 4 out of 10 for Zhou Guan Yu. Not the best of weekends by any stretch. Of course, he crashed in final practice, which then meant he couldn't set a time in qualifying. He missed the flag by only a few seconds and then just had a very, very just uneventful race, to be honest with you. So, yeah, it was his mistake which caused him to be on the back foot into the race, although I'm not sure how much higher he would have actually started, but still have to grade a little bit on that as well. So, yeah, 4 out of 10.
I've gone for a 3 out of 10 for Zhou Guan Yu. Yeah, when on these kind of circuits, it's the the risky run for having a big crash in FP3. So I have to grade it harshly that essentially he's binned it in the wall, given his mechanics a huge, huge job, and it's basically cost his whole weekend from there on, really. So normally you can get away with a bit of a FP3 off, but in this case, it has ruined his whole weekend after what was a brilliant performance in Bahrain.
The fans gave Zhou Guan Yu a 5 out of 10. Intriguing. We now go to his teammate, Valtteri Bottas, qualified 16th, finished 17th.
I have gone for a 4 out of 10 for Valtteri Bottas. It was a mediocre race, not much to shout about. You think with Bottas that, you know, maybe you could pull something out of the bag. We saw, like I say, Joe getting points in Bahrain. It doesn't seem like the Kick Sauber is miles off the others. I still don't think it's a great car, but I'm sure Bottas, with his experience, could have delivered something a bit better than 17th, so I've given him a 4.
I am going to go for 5 out of 10 for Valtteri Bottas, just purely because I think this car is absolutely horrendous, and I can't give him a the same grade as Zhou Guanyu, considering the mistakes that were in his weekend. So, yeah, it's just a weekend that, you know, I just love how Stake and Bottas, when they did that video with F1 about being picked for the F1 driver fantasy stuff, and they're like, yeah, we're going to be bringing a surprise this year, you should pick me, all of this sort of stuff. And I'm like, you've done none of that. Your car's vibrant, but that's all about all we've really seen. Obviously, Zhou Guanyu was great in Bahrain, but from Bottas' side, have we seen anything that kind of points to anything other than him just driving a car around and then popping home? So yeah, I'm going to go for a 5 for Bottas, and the fans gave Bottas a 4. Yuki Tsunoda now. Qualified 9th, finished 14th. I'm going to give Yuki Tsunoda a 6 out of 10. Obviously had a great qualifying, managed to get into Q3, which is no mean feat. Was 5 places ahead of Danny Ric, completely smoked him in that. Didn't have the best races, to be honest with you. Got caught out sort of battling. Magnussen said that he was kind of dirty driving, which I don't agree with at all, really. I think it was just hard and fair. That, well, not the one where Magnussen obviously got a penalty, but the one where he defended into turn one was pretty nice. And yeah, it was what could have been, I think, once again for Yuki, but still showed signs of pace, signs of promise. That's why I can't give him straight down the middle. So that's why it's a little bit higher than that.
It pains me to say that I've gone for a 5 out of 10 for Yuki Tsunoda. It was great in qualifying. I think it could have been another points finish, particularly with someone like Nico Hülkenberg and Haas scoring a point. So there were points up for grabs. And it was disappointing that he kind of got a bit sort of outsmarted in a lot of the racing. For example, you know, he was battling with K-Mag for so long and couldn't get past him, and then his move ended up costing him a place to Ocon, and then he got stuck in the DRS train. And I do think that points were up for grabs if maybe he'd managed to get past K-Mag and hold that position, and then we wouldn't have had this big K-Mag train and Yuki would have been able to get points, I think, fairly comfortably. But alas, he didn't.
Now, very quickly, I forgot to mention, as we are mentioning K-Mag and the battles we had here, another thing that perhaps, you know, that's why 12% voted for 10 out of 10 for K-Mag, is that not only did he pick up 20 seconds worth of penalties and hold up everyone behind him, but he managed to stay on the lead lap and everyone else behind him didn't, which meant that the 20-second penalty that he got didn't mean he lost any positions because of the big brain thinking of staying on the lead. Well, I don't think it was big brain. I think it was probably luck.
Yeah,
but he managed to stay ahead of Verstappen.
I did look at the race result going, wait, how has he finished that with all those penalties? So, wow, that is fair.
Just did all of that, failed to elaborate, onto the next race. Unbelievable from KI.
Hilarious troll-worthy race throughout the Kevin Magnussen.
Such a troll. But yes, Yuki Tsunoda, the fans gave him a 6 out of 10. Daniel Ricciardo now qualified 14th, finished 16th.
I've gone for a 2 out of 10 for Daniel Ricciardo. It's painful, but I think he had an absolutely awful race. It's a big shame because I thought these days that we saw at McLaren were over, but this, like I said in the race review podcast, looked exactly like the days of McLaren. You know, to be almost half a second off Yuki Tsunoda in qualifying, is not great. Spun on his own, very bizarre. Looked just completely really bad. Really bad weekend for him. And I notice a lot of people trying to justify his race by saying he had a really slow pit stop, like a 40-second pit stop. But he had that pit stop during a safety car period, which meant that he was on the back of the pack for the safety car restart. So he didn't lose 40 seconds. He obviously lost like a place or something, but he still had every opportunity to make some moves in that DRS train. But instead he spun, and it's a really disappointing weekend and a really disappointing start to the season for Daniel Ricciardo. It's a shame to see.
Certainly is. I've gone for a 3 out of 10 for Daniel Ricciardo. I guess that 40-second pit stop, everyone's focusing on that part. But as you say, he was running towards the back anyway. Not great pace. Obviously spun at turn one, which I love how the commentators tried to be like, was there contact? Did someone hit him?
Contact.
No. He had contact with the curb too hard and spun. Yeah, it was a concerning weekend for Daniel Ricciardo and everyone that loves him, because he needed to be in that pack. The only reason he caught up to that train as well was because of Kevin Magnussen going 2 seconds a lap slower in that first sector. So a really disappointing weekend for Danny Rick, and one that he cannot do too many more of these, otherwise we are going to be questioning what happens to him and his seat. The fans gave him a 3 out of 10 as well. Logan Sargeant now qualified 19th, finished 15th. I am going to give Logan Sargeant a 4 out of 10. Just a disappointing race for Logan. I genuinely thought that maybe. Well, I didn't. I can't.
I was going to say, flop. You made him
but in the
flop.
Race, he was there. Yeah. He was in the mix. He had K-Mag holding up the whole train. Maybe he can get involved and get stuck in. But Albon destroyed him again with damage. That's just not good enough. It isn't. He qualifying, obviously, starting 19th, 7 places behind your teammate is one thing, but then not being able to translate it really into the race as well. Logan, he's starting this season exactly how he finished last season. There's no improvement. There's no closing of the gap. Albon's a great benchmark for sure, and he is a decent driver, but Albon is not Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen either. So for Logan, he didn't obviously end up in the wall, but that's not the target right now. He needs to be a couple of tenths behind Albon, finishing 10 seconds behind him in the race or whatever, maybe that's fine. But with Albon's damage as well, you can't be finishing that far behind. You need to beat your teammate once at least. Come on.
Yeah, I've gone for a 4 out of 10 for Logan as well. Completely echo everything you say. I can't believe it doesn't seem like he's improved at all going into this season, at least from the start of it, which is a big shame to see, because you thought with the backing of James Vowles and a bit of a reset over the winter that he'd be able to just sort of get his head back in the game and be fine. But yeah, he shouldn't be getting so comprehensively beaten by Alex Albon. Because like I've said so many times on this podcast, and something you just said is, with the greatest respect to Alex Albon, he's not a Max Verstappen. So there's got to be the odd opportunity, even if he's not, even if he's not beating him, at least be somewhere near him. And he's just not at the moment, which is a big shame to see.
Certainly is. The fans gave Logan Sargeant a 4 out of 10. Alex Albon now qualified 12th, finished 11th.
Gone for a 7 out of 10 for Alex Albon. I was umming and ahhing between a 6 and a 7, but 11th is actually a pretty decent finishing position when, again, there's not the top teams have kind of locked out a lot of those positions. It's a difficult one to grade because, Logan's not having a great start to the season, and he was kind of caught in that pack. Nothing huge to shout out about, but it's a solid result again, and exactly what someone like Logan should be doing as well, but he's not.
A little bit of sideways slander to Logan again, as we were talking about Alex. Fair enough. I've also gone for a 7 out of 10 for Alex Albon. I think that it was a decent enough drive. It was a shame that he got stuck in that pack, and I think he definitely actually said that he was wishing that he had a bit more top straight line speed to get past the Haas and obviously that train. But to still finish 11th is a decent drive, and to do that with damage as well after being squeezed into the wall is great from Alex. So he definitely deserves commending. Had he got through earlier that train, Magnussen wouldn't have been able to do the defensive train that he was performing, and he probably would have scored a point. So unlucky for Alex, but still a decent enough drive. The fans gave him a 7 out of 10 as well. Esteban Ocon qualified 17th, finished 13th. I've gone for a 6 out of 10 for Ocon. I think that it was a better outing for Ocon to actually be in that pack. Where he would have been had Magnussen not been slowing down, who knows, but he was obviously stuck right in there trying to get past the Haas for quite some time. But it wasn't an absolute disaster showing from Alpine this time. They're nowhere near the top five teams, that's clear to see, but at least they're not languishing at the back in 17th and 18th. Ocon was getting involved, stuck in there, gained some positions in the race, and so that's why I've gone for a 6.
I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Esteban Ocon, 13th in my opinion, the worst car in the field is actually quite a good achievement, finishing ahead of quite a few other cars. It's hard to reset my brain that Alpine are the worst car, but I think they genuinely are now based on qualifying and how they've done. So I think Ocon to actually be fighting, finishing ahead of cars like RBs and Williams that in my opinion are quicker is a pretty good performance.
Fair enough, yeah. The fans gave Ocon a 5, so they're not happy at all.
Wrong again.
Pierre Gasly, he qualified 18th and then did not finish, retired with a gearbox problem on lap 1.
I've gone for a 5 out of 10 for Pierre Gasly. He's a very difficult driver to rate, of course, because...
Now, talk me through his race, Tommy. Come on, talk me through each and every turn he made on that formation lap. Let's really assess it.
The way he radioed his team to say that his car had broken down already was superb.
Beautifully communicated.
Great communication, yeah. But Alpine, yeah, awful, useless, many other bad words. But I do think that Gasly and Ocon, the fact that they always seem to be milliseconds apart just shows that they are getting everything they can out of that car. But alas, Gasly's car couldn't even make the start, and they said it was on fire and it smelt, and just what more can go wrong for Alpine?
We will have to wait
and find out.
Yes, I've gone for a 5 out of 10 as well for Gasly. As you say, 4/1000ths of a second separating Ocon and Gasly in qualifying just shows just how closely matched those two are, but they are both in dustbins at the moment, and fingers crossed for their sake and for Alpine's sake they can figure out why that is. How they've fallen so far from grace to where they were a couple of years ago is crazy. And I'm sure Alonso is sat back with a cocktail in hand, watching it all unfold. But very hard to rate. So straight down the middle for Gasly with a 5. And the fans also gave him a 5 out of 10.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lance Stroll now qualified 10th and then did not finish because he crashed on lap 5. I am going to lock in a 2 out of 10 for Lance Stroll. It's a mistake that's easily done, but it's a mistake all the same. And yeah, binned it into the wall. You know, he made Q3, which was a tiny, like, woo for Lance, but obviously he was 6 places behind his teammate. And it was, I think it was over 7/10 of a second he was slower as well. So Stroll, come on, son. You've got to be doing better than that, my friend. Otherwise, your seat's going to be under... Oh, wait. 2 out of 10.
Yes, for Lance Stroll, I've gone for a 1 out of 10. What? I really don't want to slander him, but he makes it extremely difficult with this, because last race, we were singing his praises. This is exactly what he needs to do. If he carries on like this, we won't have to have this conversation every week and bantering about how, oh, he's rubbish. Will his seat be gone? No, just kidding, because his dad owns the team and all this kind of stuff. And then he is absolutely nowhere near Alonso in qualifying, which is bad even for him to be that far off. I mean, Behrmann wasn't that far off Charles Leclerc. And he's not done any running, and Charles Leclerc's, you know, the qualifying god. So embarrassing from Stroll, and then to crash immediately. And it might be a 0, but maybe he just gets a 1 for his amusing team radio.
A sympathy point for that team radio, which was absolutely world class. The fans also gave Lance Stroll a 2 out of 10. So they're on my side. They're being a bit more lenient than Tom Bellingham. Right, Fernando Alonso now qualified 4th, finished 5th.
I have gone for a 9 out of 10 for Fernando Alonso.
Shock.
Yeah, shock. Who would have thought? Just got Fernando. Everything he possibly could out of that car. Don't think it's one of the the top cars. Well, it is one of the top cars, but not the top of the top. So to deliver 4th in qualifying, almost getting on the front row, and then finishing an impressive 5th, I think is a very good job from Fernando, and just more like what he did last year, just getting everything he possibly can out of a car.
Yeah, I banter about you loving Fernando, but it was a 9 out of 10 performance because that's what I've also gone for. I think that the Aston Martin probably isn't as quick as that. And for Alonso to have kept Russell at bay for pretty much the entire race was a great effort as well. Of course, he couldn't keep Oscar, who had a great performance, I think, behind. But to finish 5th in an Aston Martin that looked so bad in Bahrain compared to the other top 4 teams, it's certainly worth a high grade for Fernando. So well done for that. The fans gave Fernando an 8 out of 10. Oscar Piastri now qualified 5th, finished 4th. I have gone for a 9 out of 10 for Oscar Piastri. I think that it was an excellent race from him. He is so tenacious and aggressive on the first lap as well. I love seeing Oscar Piastri on the first lap. He's like, tire wear? No. Getting the tires into a window? No. I'm just going to send it. And he's just so aggressive. And I love to see that from Oscar. And just generally, he had a great race. Of course, he got stuck behind Hamilton, but my God, that McLaren is like, it has a parachute out the back of its car down the straight line. He really struggled, obviously, to get past Hamilton. I think there were elements that, obviously, he got past at one point, then went in too deep into turn one. It didn't matter in the end because he was on a much better strategy than Hamilton that stayed out when the safety car came out earlier on in the race. But yeah, Oscar had fantastic pace and out-qualified Lando as well, which is no mean feat. So yeah, a 9 out of 10.
I've also gone for a 9 out of 10 for Oscar Piastri. I think it's a big statement so early in the season to out-qualify Lando Norris, and his race pace has improved quite a lot as well. The Hamilton thing was unfortunate, but I don't think it ultimately cost him anything. I don't think he was going to realistically battle with Charles Leclerc, particularly not with the straight line speed anyway, even if he had been behind him the whole race. And I do think the racing with Hamilton, as in the rant that I had in the race review podcast, is more the fact that these cars are just so hard to overtake now. And realistically, you look at the race and Kevin Magnussen could hold up everyone going 2 seconds a lap slower. And the only person that really did a lot of overtaking was Ollie Bearman, who obviously had a power advantage on the kind of midfield runners that he was passing. So Oscar did a fantastic job. And yeah, he's had a very, very good start to the season indeed. Well done.
The fans gave Oscar an 8 out of 10.
Ooh.
Yeah, savage. Lando Norris now qualified 6th, finished 8th.
I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Lando Norris. He was obviously very close to Oscar in qualifying. Still don't really understand how on earth he managed to escape a jump-start penalty. Still haven't seen it cleared up anywhere other than maybe a broken sensor. But so he's lucky there, because it could have been worse. And of course, you know, he did a completely different strategy that didn't work out. But you normally expect him to beat Piastri, and seemed well, we won't know in terms of, because they never did a similar race, but I expected more from Lando.
I've also gone for a 7 out of 10 for Lando. I think that the FIA did clear it up and essentially said that because of it's basically what we thought, that there was no notification from the transponder that there was movement or enough movement in the grid box,
could
just use your literal eyes to see that. But because in the rules it says blah, 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 then for whatever reason they didn't implement it, which was ridiculous, because even Lando, you could see on his face after when he was being interviewed that he couldn't believe he wasn't penalised for a jump start as well. It was baffling, to say the least. But no, Lando, it's difficult to judge his race or his pace because of the fact he was put on a very strange strategy, and it was one of those strategies that was a hopeful one rather than anything else. For me, McLaren, obviously, with Oscar Piastri, showed that fourth was possible, and then you'd have to think that Lando could have finished fifth, but instead they've rolled the dice for another safety car, which, I don't know, I just find that a little bit baffling that they even tried that, to be honest with you, because it was very clear, I think, that as much as it was going to be a long stint on the hard tyres at that stage in the race, almost everybody went for that and pit. So, yeah, it was a weird strategy for McLaren, and Lando clearly didn't work as well in hindsight, finishing eighth, but still good points for McLaren overall, I guess. And yeah, the gamble didn't pay off. So 7 out of 10 from me, and the fans also gave Lando a 7 out of 10. Ollie Bearman qualified 11th, finished 7th. It is a 10 out of 10 from me. And I love social media. I also despise it in equal measure. But some people saying, oh, stop hyping Ollie Bearman up. Liam Lawson did this, or blah, blah, blah did this. And it's like, okay, fine. They are separate examples that were commended. And Ollie Bearman should be commended for a one-hour practice and to go and do what he then did around this track, which I've said so many times is a very difficult track and very easy to make a mistake. Lance Stroll showed that, who is a veteran of the sport these days. He's been around long enough, and he's broken his front left steering arm. Ollie Bearman did not do that. He had a bit of a squirrely first lap, a little bit all over the shop, getting used to everything. But after that, and especially at the end of the race, he showed unbelievable tenacity to just lock down and not be fazed by what was behind. And yeah, I think that he did a fantastic job. Yes, he's in a Ferrari, but he lost like 9 seconds to Leclerc after he got through on the Haas. It's a great performance, if not fantastic performance, from Ollie Bearman. And I will not hear anything other than a 10 out of 10 for his performance.
Well then. No, I've gone for a 10 out of 10. Don't
Good.
Worry.
Well, it's P1 with Matt.
Yeah. You can't just say it's a Ferrari. He had so much up against him that weekend. You know, he's gone into, you've got to think as well, it's not just the practice, but he's never had that race simulation. He was talking about how difficult it was to follow other cars, and that was something he was experiencing for the first time in a race. Because
his start was good as well. Like, you watch his onboard start. Like, he has a good start. How many times has he done that start in that car? Like, in a few practice
And how many times have we seen other drivers, like, get bogged down or have a difficult start and nailed the start? Yeah, at the start, he probably, in my opinion, I think he got maybe a bit caught out by how much quicker he was at the cars around him, but needed to get used to sort of overtaking. There was one point where I think it was maybe Lance Stroll that he caught in a slipstream and thought about going three wide and overtaking all of them and had to back out. And then it was moments like that where he was just finding his feet at the start. And then by a few laps, of course, he's got a big car advantage, but he's never driven it before in a race. And he had to make moves, you know, on Tsunoda and Hülkenberg and these drivers that he's not raced in Formula One before. He's not done any running. So, yeah, it was thrown up against him and he delivered. I even saw a screenshot of his headrest at the end that was like crumpled because dented, it's such a you know, tough on your neck and stuff. So it was a great performance. Really, really good.
Everyone that's criticised Ollie Bearman for anything other than a 10 out of 10, I mean, everyone's necks would have folded like a deck chair. But Ollie Bearman...
Well, speak for yourself.
I mean, you are swollen. the fans gave Ollie Bearman a 10 out of 10 as well. Charles Leclerc, he qualified second, finished third.
I've gone for a 9 out of 10 for Charles Leclerc. Good podium. Was never going to beat the Red Bulls, but well, you say that Perez had a penalty, but he did what he needed to do. And what more can you say, really? He is in a good car. It looks like Ferrari are the second quickest car, and he's delivered where it should be. A bit of a quiet race, really, but a good performance.
Yeah, I've gone for a 9 out of 10 as well for Charles Leclerc. I think he even said it was a boring race because he couldn't really do much. But yeah, a P3 is the absolute pretty much maximum he could have done there. They're still lacking some pace in the race for sure. But yeah, it's just one of those weekends where you go, cool, we'll take third. Cheers. First of the rest of the field. Oh dear, when is it going to change? Who knows? But yes, a 9 out of 10. And the fans also gave Charles Leclerc a 9 as well. We now go to George Russell. He qualified 7th and finished 6th. I have gone for a... Seven out of 10 for George Russell. I don't think it was anything special this weekend, but he beat his teammate, qualified ahead of him, scored some decent points. It's obviously difficult to kind of fully compare Russell to Hamilton just because they were on different strategies. But I don't think we really saw much of George Russell at all, really, in this race. And for a team that is so high up the grid, you don't tend to see that all too much. But George had a reasonably quiet race, but a decent showing.
Yeah, I've also gone for a 7 out of 10. He did a good job, if not spectacular, but then the Mercedes doesn't seem particularly great at the moment.
If not spectacular, are you saying that he might well have done a spectacular performance? Or are you saying not spectacular?
It was not spectacular.
You said if not spectacular. I was like, wait, you should be giving the 10 then, bro.
No, it was not spectacular. but yeah, Mercedes, I saw some interesting stories about like Mercedes trying to fix fundamental simulation problem with W15. And it is literally like copy and paste from the last 3 years of headlines about Mercedes, isn't it?
Why would Hamilton leave Mercedes?
Yes. So, yeah, Mercedes just aren't there, and they're getting beaten by teams with their engine. Not good.
Not good at all. The fans gave George Russell a 7 out of 10. Lewis Hamilton now qualified 8th and finished 9th.
Gone for a 6 out of 10 for Lewis Hamilton. Could argue it might even be a low 6. He didn't have a good weekend at all. Had a difficult start to the season. Didn't look particularly quick. Yeah, George beat him in all the sessions as well, you know, qualifying as well. And yeah, he was on that kind of bad suicidal strategy that we mentioned that Lando was on. But I think even if it was a normal run, he wouldn't have beaten George anyway based on the weekend he had. It was a bit of a messy weekend from him.
Certainly was. I've gone for a 6 out of 10 as well for Lewis Hamilton. Yeah, it was not the right strategy. Obviously, in hindsight, it was right with Lando and fighting there, and you could see just how much they were losing in that first sector. Obviously, some of that's down to setup and where the McLaren was good, but my goodness me, they were losing like almost a second at times to Norris, and then Hamilton, you know, typically coming over the radio and saying, "Wow, that McLaren is impressive in the high speeds and all that sort of stuff," which is a nudge to the team that yeah, this is not very good, but. I mean, he actually finished last of the top 5 team runners, I guess. So, but that was mainly down to that strategy and obviously fighting Lando. So that's why I've gone for a 6. And the fans have gone for a 6 out of 10 as well. Sergio Perez qualified 3rd, finished 2nd. I've gone for a 9 out of 10 for Sergio Perez this week. I think that it was a very solid performance from Perez, just like he did last year at this stage as well. And I'm hoping that it continues for Perez's sake. He's not quite on Max's level, but we all kind of know that, really. And I think Perez himself knows that. And I wonder if that actually will help him if he begins to kind of understand that he doesn't need to push as hard to try and beat Max Verstappen, because Max is in an absolute league of his own at the moment. But that being said, Perez had a great race. Of course, had that unsafe release, which I'm not really going to downgrade him for, because you know that's on the team as much as it is on him. So yeah, a very good weekend fault, from Perez.
It was actually his fault.
Please give context, sir.
So the red light was on and he chose to go. He got a penalty point for it.
Fair play.
Just sent it, yeah.
All right, Why not? It is his fault then. I didn't know that. Okay, fair enough.
I've also gone for a 9 out of 10. It didn't affect my grade from him, but just an interesting bit of information that I saw after the race that it was his fault that essentially like the red light was still on, so the team hadn't told him to go and he just went YOLO.
Just absolutely heated it, Fez.
But he's had a great start to the season, everything that he needs to do. Can't say much more than that. It's a good drive. He's not going to be worried in the slightest about people taking his seat based on the ones that are rumoured to be taking it and how they're driving at the moment. So, yeah, he's doing a good job.
Absolutely.
And a lot closer to Max, actually, sorry, as well.
Closer than Bahrain, for sure.
It's not like that 20-second gap. But, you know, minus the penalty, it was only, what, 8 or something, I think?
8 or 9, yeah. Whether Verstappen had sort of fallen asleep at that point, who knows? But, but yes, Perez, definitely a decent performance from him. The fans gave him a 9 out of 10. And finally, Max Verstappen. Qualified first, finished first.
It's another 10 out of 10 for Max Verstappen. Dominant qualifying. Some of the screenshots from his qualifying lap are insane. I think it's probably gone under the radar because you kind of expect him to get pole now, whereas that one in 2021, because it was such a close fight, it looked more spectacular. But when you watch his onboard, you wouldn't know that he'd been up till 4 a.m. playing iRacing the previous day. So, and then just a comfortable victory, never looked in doubt, didn't get the fastest lap. So clearly needs
should
to do
be
a bit more iRacing.
Then, really.
Yeah, should have gone to bed at 2 a.m. instead. But Yeah. Insane. And I know it goes without saying, but when you actually just think about it, that he's won 19 of the last 20 races. I think you said it on the Twitch stream that we are arguably witnessing the greatest prime of a driver that we've ever seen. And it's hard to disagree because he's just unstoppable. I know the car's very good, but he's just not making any mistakes and he's just making it look so easy.
This is the thing, right? You know, and people would argue, yeah, but Verstappen's up against Perez and Perez isn't that great or whatever. But if you actually look at the delta times between, you know, this particular season and the last few with Max Verstappen obviously winning and the advantage that Red Bull have over one lap and in the race, compare that to the Mercedes domination era, compare that to the Ferrari domination era, like this, which was a long time ago, but they had bigger margins and yet these records are being broken by Max Verstappen, who, it's not easy in qualifying. As you say, you see the screenshots. He is pushing to the absolute ragged edge within a couple of centimetres of the wall. And it's just absolutely mind-boggling that he is able to produce such metronomic consistency every single week. And I genuinely, look, people joke about iRacing. He's on till 4 a.m., you know, never stops thinking about it. But that, I genuinely think there is a part to play with the fact that he lives and breathes motorsport. He never switches off from it.
No, never.
And you might think, oh, how would iRacing on a controller at 4 a.m. really help him in qualifying for Saudi Arabia? It's not that. It's just the fact that he is constantly thinking about it no matter what. And yes, as you may well think, I'm going to say a 10 out of 10 is coming from me as well for Max Verstappen. Yeah, 19 out of 20 is obviously not great for the sport in terms of competition, but what we have to do is be able to appreciate what he is doing in front of our very eyes. That kind of stat, I will pretty much very confidently say will not be beaten. Who is going to win 19 out of 20 Grand Prix ever again? Like, we thought that Vettel's unbeatable 9 wins in a row would never get beaten, and Max is on his way to doing it twice in the last couple of years.
And you know, you say that all he has to do is beat Perez and all this kind of stuff, and there's this narrative around, like, Perez is a bit useless, which I don't think is unfair, because let's not forget he was hyped up to the, like crazy, and everyone wanted him in that seat.
Exactly.
And you never get any credit for the drivers that maybe make their teammate look like they're a bit rubbish. And I'm not saying
Schumacher
Perez
against
Barrichello.
You had Hamilton against Bottas. Bottas and Barrichello and all of these other teammates, Mark Webber for Vettel, they're not thought of as incredible drivers that have been in Formula 1.
And also, in that time, Barrichello, Bottas, you know, they had races where they beat those drivers by, you know, there was that race in Australia where Bottas beat Hamilton by like 20 seconds. And yes, it's one race. And
that's what it needs to stop the streak.
But that's what it needs to stop it, and it doesn't. So it's an incredible thing what he's doing, and it won't get the credit because, and it's fair to say it is boring because it's not exciting for us Formula One fans because you want to see different winners, but it won't get the credit until maybe he is a full-time iRacing driver instead and he's quit Formula One or whatever. And we really look back on it and go, wow, that is nuts. And you just see his, like, Wikipedia table and just 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1. It's amazing. It's amazing. I remember thinking, like, looking at Michael Schumacher in 2004 and just seeing that small block where he won, I think it was like 13 out of 14. And, you know, like, how many more is Max going to win this year? Like, it could go on an insane amount.
Yeah, absolutely. How many wins is he on a row now? Eight?
Nine. So he's won nine in a row.
So he's tied.
So that Vettel record that looked completely untouchable, he's done it twice.
Cool. So if he wins every race this year, he'll be up to 31 wins in a row by the end of the season. So cool.
And Formula One won't exist.
And then I will launch that tennis podcast. Right. The fans also gave Max Verstappen a 10 out of 10. No surprise there. Finally, we have to decide who is our P1. And you know what? This week, I'm giving it to Max Verstappen because we've just absolutely commended him to high heavens. And I can't then go and give it to Ollie Bearman, as much as it was an incredible performance for him as well. Max Verstappen is getting my P1 this week.
I will give it to Bearman. Just
yeah,
to be
I thought you would, just to be different. But also, you know, Behrman does deserve it as well. So, yeah.
No, K-Mag, actually.
Didn't even give him a 10, bro. You can't give him a P1. 12% thought that he was P1. So that is interesting. But cool. That pretty much wraps it up for this week's edition of Driver Ratings. Tommy, what are your final thoughts?
Final thoughts are... Sorry for earlier having a go at the fans, but they were wrong, so.
You can't bookend the start and the end of this podcast with slandering the people that are literally listening to this podcast, Tommy.
They know I'm only joking.
Nah, straight down to the job centre in the morning for Tommy. I, on the other hand, really appreciate each and every one of you for listening and your opinions, even if they are supposedly wrong. Exactly. Thank you, everybody. Lots of love. Be sure to join our Patreon if you want to have lots more exciting access to other podcasts that we do during the season and loads of other benefits, Discord, and you can get a one-on-one with... No, you don't get a one-on-one with Tommy. Sorry, that's only for OnlyFans. So, right. Thank you, everybody. Lots of love. Take care. Bye!
Bye.
Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. We're MattP1Tommy on Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, and Instagram. You can also sign up to our Patreon at the link in the episode notes for ad-free episodes, full video interviews, and extra bonus episodes for as little as $5 a month. Finally, make sure you're following us on Spotify. See you soon.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.